absolutely just love it. I really appreciate those specials. Nice to see the gifts of God working in the assembly. I was hearing an up-and-coming gift back there singing just a little while ago to the Waverly. She just gets right in there and sings those specials with you sisters. So, amen. I just really, what a blessing. Amen. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. Good to see the liquid sunshine. It's been quite a while since we've had any rain. And so very neat. We pray that it would just fill up the lakes again, get all the everybody's drinking water back where it needs to be. Amen. Now, Brother Daniel gave a prayer request there a little while ago about the election coming up, so we want to remember that. God is in control.
That's
amen.
Right.
And so we just pray that there's no unnecessary harm to anyone. It's, you know, God can do that. And still, we just want his will, right?
Yeah.
Come to the point where you realize that we don't want to pray contrary to his will, because that would be even worse. Mm-hmm. So just what we want, what God's will. Of course we want someone in office that would be have policies that would more match what we as believers would want. And of course we would want that. But still yet, we want to give God the right. He has that right. We want to surrender to him the ability to do what he wants. And in all that, that God would continue to draw his people. And you know, as the world is falling and crashing around, God's promises to us is not crashing.
That's right.
Amen. It's becoming stronger and stronger. Yeah. So we thank him for that. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles. We'll have three different places we want to read from the scriptures. We'll start with Judges chapter 3, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians 10, and then after that, Revelation 1. Judges chapter 3, verse 31, just one verse. Not very talked about scripture from a lot of, ministers or whatever, but Judges 3:31, and after him was Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. I pray that the Lord would allow us to come back and visit him here in just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. You'll have it on the screen up here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are carnal, or not carnal, excuse me, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And this is the verse we want to really concentrate on. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for your presence we've already experienced here as your people come, Lord, with the attitude of worship, Lord, looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray, Lord, that this service this morning, Lord, we just give it to you now. We ask God that you'd speak to the heart of your children, Lord, that which you would desire, that which is pertinent to this hour. We pray, God, that you'd have your way in everything that's said and done. As always, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So I spoke Wednesday night on the title, what I titled, Casting Out Devils. And I want to continue on that thought today, but I'm going to title this Kings and Priests Unto God. Amen. Kings and Priests Unto God. It's been on my heart for several weeks now, and So we just want to share things with you. And so we'll kind of rehearse a little bit what we talked about on Wednesday night. And those of you who are here, you just pull anyway. Amen. So, you know, the scripture tells us that we are made in the image of God. And I think I mentioned the other night how in the scriptures when it talked about Moses, when Moses wanted to see God, and God said, okay, I'll pass by, and you'll be in the cleft of the rock, I'll cover you, and then after I'll let you see me as I pass by. And so we know in the scriptures there that he came by, and the Lord proclaimed himself before Moses. And Brother Branham, when he was talking about that, said he looked like a man. And so, you know, that scripture's in there for a reason, where he said we were made in God's image. Didn't say that cows are in his image, or horses are in his image, or fish is in his image, but man is in the image of God. And so I know that that means that if we could see him, he has hands and arms and feet and a head. We understand that. That's because we're made in his image like that. And so we know that humanity, just period, they are the offspring of God in that respect. And then we know, of course, in humanity also there is a group of people who are actually the children of God. They are the gene offspring of God in their spirit. And so they're in a fallen flesh, but still yet they're made in his image. And that means that they carry traits. You realize that you carry traits of your parents, or your father, or your mother. And so that's a known thing. We don't dispute that. Well, the same thing spiritually. There would be, as children of God, there would be things about them that are traits of their Heavenly Father. That you could look at them and you could say, there's a Christian, right? I mean, we know that. And so regardless of what the world thinks and wants to deny this and deny that, whatever, it still remains true. The same God that created physical heaven and earth has created the spirit realm. He's created natural typing, spiritual, Old Testament typing, New Testament. He's done all those things regardless of whether people believe it or not. And so in the natural, we take the traits of our parents. And in the spirit, we take the trait of our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Amen? And so we know that. And so in this topic of casting out devils, we understand that when Satan rose up, Lucifer rose up in heaven, and he began to corrupt a certain portion of heaven, he began to tell a tale and deceived a third of the angels to believe that he could come up with a better kingdom than that of Christ, of Michael. And so, Michael, Christ in angelic form. And so, when he did that, God's tactic was to cast him out. So you realize that God is his word,
yeah,
right? That he expresses himself through his word. If you want God, just receive his word, and then you'll have him. And so that's the very essence. That's what created all things, and that's where all good, every perfect gift and everything comes from. That it's all the source of life. And then so you got this other being that rose up with something different than God. And so if God is life and he's love and he's all these things, if something else rises up different, then you know it has to be, it can't be God, can't be those attributes, has to be something different. So it's death, and it's confusion, and it's heartache.
Yeah.
So that's the opponent. And so you realize that in God is no lie. In God is no deception. In God, there's none of these things, right? And so when an adversary would rise up that's contrary to those things, there's no way that contrary being can be part of God.
Right.
Because he's opposite of God. Can't be, right? And so the very concept of Satan coming up with a different idea shows you he's outside of Christ. He's outside of the Word,
yeah,
right? He's outside of life. He's death.
Right.
And so he can't even be found in the presence in God, right? Just because he's opposite.
Yeah.
And so, but then the whole concept there was that when he did that in heaven, God's tactic was to cast him out from the presence of God.
Right.
God has no desire for his opponent, something opposite and evil. He has no desire for that to be in his presence. And anywhere God is, God has no desire for those things to be there.
Right?
We believe that. And so God's method there was to cast out evil. And I'll have several quotes to read, so don't let that throw you, and I'll do my best to not be choppy, even though it is sometimes. Greatest battle ever fought. Satan's army brings diseases, and God's army is commissioned to cast them out. Amen? Yeah. There you are. Every time Satan throws anything onto you, God's army is to cast him out. Amen? Right. Cast out. That's the very tactic that God used. Satan used the army of destruction to disbelieve God's word and set him up a better kingdom than Michael had, and God cast him out. God's method is to cast out evil, cast down reasoning, cast down superstition, cast down worry, cast down diseases, cast down sin. Amen. He says, you're above it, resurrected in Christ Jesus, sitting in heavenly places where every devil is under your foot. If he starts to stick his head in there, you know what? You're dead and your life is hid. What is dead? He said, you're dead to your senses. You're dead to your conscience. Your own human will would say, well, I guess, no, you're dead to your reasonings, dead to all these things, and you are buried in the name of Jesus Christ and raised in him. And wherever he is, there you are also. Amen. What happened when one of those doubters got into heaven? God kicked him out. Now, what did he say to the soldiers that's raised in Christ? When the devil comes along, kick him out. Cast him out. When Jesus trained his army and commissioned them to go go ye into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow the believer, my soldiers. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up servants. Or if they drink deadly things, it would not harm them. And if they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Amen? That's what Jesus said. So God's very tactic is to cast out. No matter where Satan tries to stick his head up, and he's speaking to us as believers, cast him out. He has no right as a believer. If you have repented of your sins, you've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in line for the Holy Spirit to come into your life if it hadn't already. Right. It's a promise of God. And as a believer, Satan has no right to come into your realm and mess with you. And you've been commissioned by God to displace him, to cast him out, right, because you've got the same nature in you. You've got God in you, right?
Right.
So we know that. We are to do the same. But we are not to do that. We're not to do that by trying to do it with our flesh. That's why we read the scriptures. We do not war against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not your boss. It's not your brother or your sister. Your enemy is not who's sitting in the White House. That's not who your enemy is. Your enemy is spiritual wickedness in high places that has set up fortifications, and we are commissioned to cast down those things that try to fortify themselves against us. Amen? And so, we aren't to cast to do that by our flesh. We're not even to do it by our spirit. Now, I mean, just get you on the same track of my thought that I'm on is God made us. He made us as an outward being. We've got five senses: touch, taste, see, smell, hear, and that is to contact our earthly home. We have five spiritual senses to contact our spiritual realm, and that's imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. But inside of that is our soul. And in there, there's only one sense, and that's it, faith or doubt. If you are of God, that faith lays there. That's the gene of God. God believes his own word. If you're not a gene of God, then of course you've got doubt there. Okay? And so the scripture tells us that it's without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
And so God lives in that third realm. It's not so much the flesh, right? It's not the spirit realm, but in that third realm, that's where all things are possible to them to believe. That's where the word is, and that's where faith connects to, is there. And so that's the only way you can get access to God in that realm, is to reach into that third realm with the sense that God has given you to contact that realm. And you cannot take flesh touch, taste, see, smell, and hear, and try and reach into that realm with five senses. You can't work your way to God. You can't please Him in the flesh in some way to get to Him, right? Because these senses were given to us to contact this home, and they are true. They help us walk around. We can do things. But when we start trying to use these senses to contact God, we're failures. Because it don't work. Okay, so let's move into the spirit realm with imagination, contrary memory, reason, and friendship. You are not to use those to contact God. Because you realize Satan gets in your flesh.
Right.
Satan can get in your spirit realm. He can affect your imagination and your conscience. He can affect your flesh. Right? And so that's not even how you contact God. You don't contact God with emotions.
Right.
You don't contact God with shouting and screaming and hollering and whatever. That's not how you contact God by faith.
Amen.
Faith on the basis of one thing, the Word of God, what it says. Right. Not faith on what your neighbor's doing, not faith on what the flesh feels good to the flesh, not what makes you feel good in your mind, in your spirit realm. But you simply, on the basis of God's Word, you connect to that realm, God, on His Word by faith. Amen. And so that's our soul realm. That's I said Wednesday night, you know, because when Jesus died and He come back and He raised us up, and so like we read there a while ago, we're dead to this world, right? We're dead to these senses like that because they don't belong in that kingdom. See, flesh and blood cannot inherit that kingdom.
Right.
Right? See, and so we can't take this there. But I tell you what we can do. We can by faith connect to that dimension, that soul realm where the Word is, where God dwells and all things are possible. And we can bring the blessings of that realm down to our spirit to control what we allow in our spirit. And we can bring that down to control what's in our flesh. So when we come from there with faith and cast out devils in our mind, in our imagination, in our conscience, we come on and cast him out of our flesh, right? These cannot ascend up there, but you can certainly go there and bring the blessings of God down into this realm.
Right.
Amen? And so, Satan's not allowed there. So, he is given permission to work in the flesh realm. He still has permission to work in the spirit realm. But he cannot work in that word. He cannot go there. Amen. So we don't contact him by flesh and by emotions. We know many people that we have seen. If you would look at them, they come to church, and they may have had an absolutely just a wonderful expression of shouting and speaking in tongues or whatever it is. And you would say, man, they really got it. I remember back in Pentecost that's... somebody said that one time. It was actually in this church right here. And somebody that never did really surrender their life to God. But they would come to church and repent and go out and live in the world. Come and repent and go out and live in the world. Finally, one day, they come in and they spoke in tongues. And one of the elders of the church raised up and said, if you didn't get it that way, you didn't get it God's way. She got right up and went right back out into the world. So I'm saying that because when you try to contact God with flesh, it don't work. When you try to contact God with emotions, it don't work.
Right.
You contact God by faith.
Right.
Free moral agency is what we're talking about. By free moral agency, that means without any outside influence, you believe the Word of God and you contact God by faith. Amen. No pressure. No pressure from somebody else. No peer pressure. Not trying to be like somebody else. Just simply on the basis of God's Word, you believe what He said, and you lay hold on it. That's how you contact God. But we have so much emulation. We have so much where people, well, you got to be like this, or you got to be like that, and this church has got to be like that church, and this brother's got to be, or this preacher's got to be like that preacher. All emulation. We are to be exactly one thing, and that is what God made us to be as individuals in Him. That's what we are to be. And not mimic somebody else. Not try to shout our way into His presence. Because it don't work. I read the quote the other night where Brother M said, you don't have to cry and scream and lay on the altar. He said, you can lay there until you turn gray-headed and die there. And you're lost if you can't accept what God has done for you. Amen? Because it's on the basis of faith. We can only do that by faith. Now, talking about this five senses, not being able to contact God through emotions and stuff like that. We're not saying that you can't be emotional. That's perfectly fine. Like I said, you can go into that realm and it can come out and manifest different ways. But you can never do something here to contact there. It is a result of what happens there is what manifests here. Amen. And when we have people that try, you know, it's like, I don't remember what sermon it is. We can look it up. I think it's called Enticing Spirits, I believe it is. Brother Ram said, you got these peoples all the time, fast, pray. He said, nothing but enticing spirits. Enticing spirits versus the Word of God. You got to be like this, brother. You got to shout like this, sister. You got to preach like this, man. Enticing spirits. You are to be what God made you to be in yourself and not mimic anyone.
Right.
You go up into His presence, and when you come out of His presence, and that affects upon you, and you just be who you are, and that's the way God wants you. And that will make more sense maybe when I get a little bit further here, just a little bit. God wants you just like that. And so, in this topic of not being able to come up and to please God by, touch God by emotions and so forth, bear with me, this is long quote reading, and don't get the wrong idea, just bear it until you get to the end so you'll understand what Brother Ram's talking about here. And this is in perfect strength by perfect weakness. And Brother Ram had preached the week before, and he held the tape back because there were things that he said that he didn't want the public to have because it would be confusing, and he talks about this. And he said, I want to say that and clear that so that you'll understand. There never was an altar call made in the Bible. There's no such a thing in scriptures. And nowhere down through the ages was it made until the Methodist age, about 200 years ago. See, altar calls is when people come up and try to persuade and pull. Come on, come John, you know your mother died praying for you. Come on, John. Brother Ann said, that's not conviction, friends. No, them kind very seldom ever hear that they go very far. And so he's talking about these altar calls where you're working on people's emotions and your mother and oh, don't you, and trying to get people to come to the altar, trying to get people to give their lives to Christ based upon emotions. And he'll explain that in just a moment. And he says, in that, you get everything. That's the reason the church is in a muddled up way as it is today, is because of such things. A little bit later, he says, because you get way too much. You get stuff in. You get people coming in the church that really didn't come through a conviction. They come because of outward persuasion, by outward peer pressure or want to be accepted or whatever, not on the basis of God's word. Amen. And so he says that's the way the church is all molded up the way it is today because of such things. Conviction. You don't have to say a thing, brother. God's there and has done the work. While Peter spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard. See? There's no altar call, no such thing. No. The altar is a place where prayer, a place of prayer where every person comes in the church and first goes and kneels at the altar and silent and prays to God and offers their petition and prayer and for their loved ones and thanking God for what He'd done for them. And they go back to their seat. And then the church is the place where the Word of God and the judgment begins at the house of God, where the judgment of the Word goes forth. But today, we've changed that around so much. So Brother Bram's saying, yeah, the altar, think about it, in the Bible, the altar, the altar of incense where prayer was made. So an altar call, so people come in, you pray at the altar, you go see. He said, but in the church, the place for the church is where the Word of God is preached, and that judgment goes out, and it speaks, and it judges your life, and you cope with it, and it changes your life. That's what the church is for, right? And so he says, if God's in it, you don't have to persuade and, oh, come on, don't you? No, he says God's already there and he's done the work, right? If it's God, right? If it's through that channel of faith based upon the Word of God, you don't have to persuade anybody. The work is there and it's done. They'll surrender. And he goes on and talks about what happens when you do that. Then they'll repent and give their heart to the Lord and be baptized. Amen. Let me see here. It's a long quote. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them to receive the word. No altar call, no such thing. Now the altar is where we pray, give your petition to God. Amen. Judgment begins at the house of God. But today we've changed that so much. And you know, Brother Brandon is preaching to people, and he you don't want to be, you know, you can preach truth and drive people plumb away where they don't even hear you. And he says, I have nothing against anyone who makes altar. Well, see, and I've made a many of myself, and I'll probably do many more as I keep going on. But as for me myself, see, you collect too much. You get too much different stuff in there, is what he's telling us. There's nothing against it. No harm in it. All right? Because listen, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him first, and all the Father has given will come. That's right. So then, that throws your altar call completely out altogether, see? All the Father. Our responsibility is to preach the word. The Bible said, as many as believe were baptized, repent and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sins. What? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and they shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But when you persuade and pull and scare people and talk people in, he said, people must come sanely, soberly, under conviction, and receive Christ. Then the first thing he does, as soon as they receive Christ in their seats, the next thing is they baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and that they have been convicted that they were wrong. And that's how their sins are remitted, because they have repented, been baptized as a memorial to the people that I have received Christ as my personal Savior, and then you're a candidate for the Holy Ghost. But now, many people continue on persuading and calling to the altar and so forth like that, which is all right. I'll go with that. That's perfectly all right as far as I'm concerned. Anybody that wants to do that, but me, it's not scriptural, you see, and so I just like to stay with scripture. Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
Let me go to the next quote. And this is greatest battle ever fought. So this will bring some of this in. So many people a lot of times have misconstrued the word, and I've been misunderstood by making altar calls. I said I wasn't much on altar calls. Not meaning that you shouldn't make altar calls, but somebody gets somebody the arm. Oh, Brother John, you know what? Me and you have been neighbors since a long time. Come to the altar, get down. He said, what's he doing? Now, think about the five inlets. Or five ways to contact spirit, right? And you can't contact God that way, okay? So Brother Bram was saying, me and you have been neighbors for a long time, come to the altar and get down. He said, what's he doing? He said, I wish I had a blackboard here so I could show you what he's doing. He's trying to work through the soul on affections. Trying to get that contact using affections or emotions. Affection, he said, that don't work. That's not the avenue. Certainly it isn't. Maybe he was working on what? A memory through the sense of his soul. Oh, Brother John, you had a wonderful mother and she died a long time ago. A memory. You see, you can't do that. It's got to come down the line of free moral agency. You yourself let the Word of God. You don't come because your mother was a good woman. You don't become because you're a good neighbor. You come because God calls you to come, and you accept him on the basis of the word. And that word means everything. That word, now he thinks about these inlets, he calls them channels. That word, if you can get everything out of the way, all the conscience and all these senses, and just let the word come in, that word will produce exactly. Amen.
Right.
So thank you for bearing with me through all that, those quotes there. So you understand what he's saying. There's nothing wrong with having a, you know, people come or whatever, pray or whatever. But when you try to persuade people to come, it just saying, if you preach the word and let the judgment come from the house of God, if that person is, it comes the right way, God will speak to them, they'll make that decision, and you don't have to try and persuade them through the channels of imagination, conscience, memory, reason, or affection.
Really?
They'll come by free moral agency, believing the word of God, the promises of God for them. And so, how thankful we are that what the Lord did for us there on Calvary, that he can bring us up into his presence, as I said a while ago, bring us up in there into a realm where all things are possible. Amen. And so, here we are, we live in this age right now. And I know this is probably a sticky topic with a lot of people. I pray that it's not here. But we live in an age where people are addicted to sensations. They're addicted to you know, make me feel good,
right.
Mesmerize me, super this, super that.
Right.
See, and so all these video games and apps and movies and television and all that stuff there, it's touching your senses. It's increasing dopamine. It's doing these things. And so we are an age where people are addicted. They're not going to spend much time on something that doesn't have, they don't have some gratification feeling.
Yeah.
Right? You understand what I'm saying? You're not going to spend much time on an app on your phone that's boring. But you take one that is, oh, they'll spend hours and hours doing that. Right? And so what is it? It works against the very thing that God is going to have a people in this hour who are going to serve him, whether they feel anything or not. They're going to serve God. They're going to believe his promise. And yet we live in a world where everything is going that way, where, oh, you got to have senses and it has to feel good and it's got to do this and got to do that. And God says, no, my people will believe me whether they feel it or not. They're going to believe it. If they have to live their life like Abraham and wait 25 years, they're still going to believe my word.
Amen.
Or they feel anything.
Amen.
Amen. And so, God will have a people who live by faith. So now, when we read the scriptures there, it says that God hath made us kings and priests unto God. You know what a priest is? You're an intercessor. You help other people get to God.
Right?
Pretty, I think that's a pretty simple way to say it. You help other people get to God. You help other people get their sins under the blood. That's just a priest, right? And the scripture says that he, you know what it's talking about, he hath made us kings and priests. Now, has God ever done anything that failed? So if the scripture said he's made us kings and priests, now, whether you believe it or not, whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel like you can do it or not, you are a king and you are a priest because God has made you one.
Right?
See, you're going to have to believe this word. You're going to have to believe these promises of God to get somewhere.
Right.
He hath made us kings and priests unto God. Right? For God's purpose, by him and for him, for what he has put us here for. And so we are kings and priests. We're here to be kings for him. We're here to be priests for him on behalf of his program.
Right.
You know, it says that. And so he, you know, the scriptures tell us he is king of kings. Right? So there are kings who he is their king. Amen?
Right.
And kings have a territory. The kings have a domain. A king has a domain. If you sit on a throne in a kingdom and your kingdom might reach out like Ahasuerus, it might win 127 provinces, pretty much the whole world, whatever. You sit in that, and that means that everything inside your domain is under your control.
Right.
They can't do a thing unless you allow it. Right? Now, if you just sit back and just let it go, they might do all kinds of stuff in your kingdom. But if you have been given kingship, you have been given the authority from God to operate over your domain, given to you by God. You have it whether you believe it or not.
Right.
You have it whether you accept it or not.
Right.
You have a domain given to you by God. You have a throne to sit on in your kingdom given to you by God, because kings sat on the throne of their rulership.
Right.
You've been given that. Now, as I say these things, you should ask yourself, well, what is my domain? What am I supposed to be controlling? And you're supposed to be controlling everything that God gave you. Right? You have a domain, and he hasn't done it shabbily. He has given you the authority to control everything that pertains to you.
Right.
Everything. Nothing left behind. Everything that pertains to you, he's given you the authority as a king to do it. And so you have a domain, and whether you like it or not, you're responsible for what happens in that domain. Amen. Because God has given it to you, and he's given you the power to be an authority over it. He didn't give you and say, well, here you go, here's your, I hope you can rule it. No, you've got the rulership. You're royalty. Right? You're that royal seed line. That's what, in a country where they have a king, that's a royal seed line. That means your children are your offspring. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So God has given that to you. And you're responsible. And so I will tell you that whatever is going on inside your domain is because you allow it. Because you let it. Because you have the authority. You're just not using it.
Right.
Amen. Am I still in the Bible?
Yeah.
Amen. See? You're kings and you're priests unto God. Stop letting down on your responsibility.
Amen.
You can cast out devils. You can control everything in your domain. What is your domain? It's not just your, we start right here, just in your own mind. When Satan tries to tell you a lie, well, God really don't love you, or oh, he won't heal you, or he won't save your children. Do you find that in the Word of God? If you can't find it in here, you cast that thing out.
Yeah.
You say, Satan, you are not allowed to come into my head with that kind of thinking. God's word is real. Can you imagine being in a kingdom? Let's say in a county. Let's say Crawford County is where God dwells. And in Crawford County is where his domain is. And everything's supernatural, healing and all these things. And we're here. We're just praising God and everything's going on. And somebody comes up to you and says, you know, God's really not a healer. He's really not a healer. He's not a savior. There's no such thing as divine healing. And you're sitting right here in the middle of it. And my point is that guy's not allowed here because he's the opposite of faith.
Right.
We said in the presence of God where all things are possible, where your family can be saved, they will be saved.
Yeah.
Right? If you'll take over your domain, that's why the scripture said to Abraham, walk through this land and check it out. Know what belongs to you.
Amen.
Right? So that you know what you have access to. Walk through this word. Walk through this message. Find out what belongs to you, and you'll find out you're letting down on your responsibilities. You can have better success in your walk with God if you'll just firm up and say, I know who I am. God has given me this, and I'm going to take control of it.
Amen.
You feel like you don't have, say, so you don't know what to do. Say, well, you know what? My wife and I got a request yesterday from someone in Texas. It's a very serious situation, and asking us for prayer and asking us for any advice. And I told my wife, so we're going to pray first. I'm not just going to, here's what they, no, I'm going to pray first. And as I'm in prayer saying, God, we're going to hesitate. We're going to wait on you. We're going to wait on you because, yeah, we can jump out there and answer something and probably do it for imagination, conscience, memories, and affection. But we're going to go beyond that, and we're going to reach into another realm by faith and say, God, you're the fountain of all wisdom. And we're going to reach in there, and we're going to ask you to come down out of that realm and to illuminate our mind so that we can give the right answer. Are you doing that? I'm telling you, you should be. You should be doing that every day on everything. But we don't. And there lies the problem. You have access to it. You're just not using it. I'm saying myself. When I say you, I'm talking me too. Right? See, between now and body change time, a lot of walls have to fall.
Right.
A whole lot of walls have to fall, and that means you got to do some marching. You got to start marching around these things. They look like Goliath to you, but giants still fall.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Giants still fall. So, we've been given that. That deposit of God in us. You've got to believe that. You have to come up out of just denominational teaching. You have to come up out of that seven church age limits. Come into what God is trying to tell you. You're a gene of God. And that genetic of God down inside your soul, the Bible tells you, it's never sinned. It cannot sin because it's born of God. It can't. You've got to learn to identify with that. See, if you identify with your failures in the flesh, what realm are you working with? Not that soul realm. If you let Satan tell you all these things, that's not. If it's not the Word, then you understand that's the wrong realm. That's the wrong realm to be dealing with. And so that gene of God that's down inside you that never has failed, it believes. It believes the Word. You got to awaken that guy, bring him up. I remember John Hollis, a friend of mine, a convert there at Battle Lord years ago, and that story just absolutely gripped him, how that Jesus was down in the boat asleep. And they're going through all these storms. And all they really didn't need to do, well, first of all, they should have believed. Because he said, we're going over. Right? And here we are. Well, I got the Lord in me, and you're afraid? And I say, we all go through this, right? We're going through storms of life, but if we say he's with us, then why not wake him up? If you don't have faith enough to call it like it is, go to him and so that he comes and takes it and then settles it for you. Understand? But he wants, oh ye of little, he wants you to do what he has given you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you go to just like his disciples, and he's like, what's the matter with you? I told you to do this. That's my own paraphrasing, right? I told, you know, how long am I going to be with you until you finally figure this out that you can do these things? Why can you do those things? Because I've given that to you. He's given that to you to overcome. Giving you that ability to overcome. And so that gene down inside you, as the prophet said, that can speak a world into existence and go live on it. Now, if I said I have $100 and 10% of that is what? $10. 10% of 1,000, that's 100. 10% of 100 million is 10 million. 10% of 100 trillion, 10 trillion. And you can keep going, and as long as you say there's a limit to what you're getting 10% from, then there's a limit to what your 10% is. But if that's infinite, and you have 10% of infinite, what do you have? Infinite. Because there's no end to that. And so since there's no end to that, there can't be an end to this, the 10%. Right? So what am I saying? If you've got any part of God in you, if that gene is laying there, that's God, and it can speak a world. But it's controlled by faith.
Right.
I didn't have it to read to you today, but I've read it to you before, where Brother Ram said, whatsoever God leads your heart to believe, that he has given to you. If he deals with you and he brings that faith into your heart on a certain things, that's yours. You might wait a while for it. I said the other night that this comes from eternity, so time has nothing to do with it. So when God, a promise of God comes to you and it's quickened to you, and that's something that comes from eternity, from the presence of God, it's so. It might take 25 years for it to manifest. That has nothing to do with it, because time has nothing to do with eternity. Right? So don't worry about how long it takes. Just believe his promise. That's the pattern that was there in the Bible for us. That gene can believe and can speak if God was to give that to you. There's no need of it. It's not part of his plan for us to go speak other planets into existence. I've often wondered if maybe someday God says, "Well done, my children. Now, there you are, Brother Daniel. Go out there. Speak a universe. Create your people. And you go be a savior for them." Think about it. Because you're just an offspring. What did God do? I can do what he did. How do you know he's not going to do that? See, Satan tried to tell you you've got limits. You have no limits when you believe. Obviously, there's limits if you're trying to believe something wrong, but you understand. There are no limits to him that believeth. And we come into an hour where these things have got to pick up step and manifest in the lives of people. And so, I've said recently, I mentioned it again the other night, you know, that when he said you could speak a world into existence and go live on it, I said, well, does that mean that if you're going to speak a planet and you're going to go live on it, would you have to understand all the minerals and the rocks and how everything's formed and, you know, will there be water and what will water be and will there be an atmosphere? Do you have to understand all that? No. If you tap into infinite, and in that, if you could reach in there and by faith, that could well up and that infinite channel could pass through you by faith and you could speak. The infinite power is there to deal with whatever those minerals have to be and whether it's water. It just creates. It don't have to know. It just creates it.
Right.
And then if scientists come along and say, well, we're going to go there and we're going to study it, anything and everything they could find out was in that infinite word when it was spoken. You don't have to, and I say all that to get to this. You don't have to understand how God's going to destroy your enemies.
Right.
He just said he's going to do it. You've got to believe it.
Man.
That's it. Because when you start trying to figure it out, you're not operating in the faith realm, you're operating in the emotional realm, Man. The memory, reasoning.
Right.
Amen. See, God is so great that he expresses himself in littleness. He's so big that he can come down and express himself in little things. And he does. You see, Satan's not like that. Satan wants beautiful things, haughty things, great big things.
Right.
But God is featured in not outward beauty, but character. Mm-hmm. Not things that are flashy and big and all that, and yet it is the biggest thing there is. Because
right.
he hides himself in simplicity, but reveals himself in the same. These things are becoming so real to us to realize that God expresses himself even through you. God is not God if he doesn't come down and express himself through you. You see, he didn't want to just have a family. He wanted to be a family. And so, in order for him to redeem all of his people, he has to be in all of his people. Because that's him. He is life. And in order for them to be living, he has to be in them. And so for him to be able to redeem his people, he has to come down and be that person he's redeeming.
Right.
Hope you get this. See? That's how big he is to come off. You know, oh, God would never go down to that little church there that's only got a handful. You want a bat? Just a figure of speech on bed. If he's going to come, he's going to come down to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Wrong.
Right.
He's going to come, like he said, and it's through humility. And so he has to, in order for him to redeem us, he has to be us. Now you realize the scripture said, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when I tell you it's him, it's not you, that's true, but it's you. Right? It's him who has come down. He's expressing himself not just as another being beside you or even living in you, but he's morphed himself to become you. You are him. She is him. I'm not telling you something's not in the Bible. It's not in the message. I'm telling you, she is him. This as she unites with this word and doesn't reject some portion of it, she becomes the expression of him. And that is God who's come down into littleness to be the one who's redeemed. Because it's him doing it. God expresses himself in all of us, even in little children. Even in little children. Just even the little child that says his ABCs because he doesn't know how to pray, so he just says his ABCs and says, I believe God. He knows what I mean. He'll put it together. That's God. Just like a man that says, I don't know how to pray, he'd write a note and leave it on a tree out in the woods and say, I believe God lives out there. Right? That's God. And so, I like Brother Ryan, brother years ago, and he said, the fella said, what's wrong? I don't know. I just need fixing. He went to the altar and he prayed and he got a touch from God and they said, what happened? He said, I don't know. He just fixed me. It's that simple.
Right.
That God lives in us. He is. See, and I'm saying all this because I want you to believe that, yes, you, all of you, right there where you are, God, God is in you. If you've done all, you know, things the scripture said and you've had that, then God is there in you. And I'm telling you, stop thinking about your imagination and what your flesh limits are, that. Start looking at that being that lives in you that has brought you thus far. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. Right? That's him in you, or you wouldn't be here. That's him and you, or you wouldn't believe the things you hear. You'd be off out there in some other system believing something else, rejoicing in rock and roll on the platform or something like that. And so that he that has begun a good work in you will finish it. That one who has come down, he shows how great he is by coming down, and he is now living your life, and he's in you, and that life in you that's him is now also you, because you're joined to the Lord one spirit. Now that life in you still has domain, has the ability to speak and create and do all these things. And I'm not telling you to go out and start trying to speak and create things. I'm just telling you that God is there and you have a domain that you can control. And you have the ability to cast out anything contrary to this word. And surely if you walk with the Lord very long, you have found out that when I don't go back to that word, that's when I mess up. That's when things go wrong. Yeah. There's only one way, and it's this right here.
Right.
So you see, Satan corrupted almost everything God had created. He corrupted heaven. Right? He corrupted heaven, and all that came down. And I was listening other how Brother Bram talked about that battle now is fell upon men. Now people are acting out that same battle that started there.
Right?
Right? But Satan corrupted heaven, and he come in, he's corrupted this earth, and he's corrupted these realms. But there's one thing he could not corrupt, and that's the Word of God. He couldn't corrupt God,
right.
Couldn't corrupt the presence of God. He was cast out from that. He couldn't be there. And yet God has come down and has lifted us up and said, but now you're there.
Right.
He can't be there, but I brought you there.
Amen.
And so now that you're there, he has no right to hold you, but you've got to cast him out. You've got to be like your father.
Amen.
You've got to do what he did. You've got to say, you're not allowed in my life like that.
Amen.
That's what he did. And you've got to do that. Start right there in your mind. That's why the prophet preached the greatest battle ever fought. You got to get these thoughts lined up with the word.
Amen.
Cast out things that don't belong there. If Satan says you're going to have this sickness the rest of your life, it's a lie, Satan, because by his stripes I am healed.
Amen.
And you keep saying it and confessing it and telling it and rejoicing. And let God come out of eternity and manifest that however he wants, when he wants.
Amen.
But until that time, we're going to praise God.
Amen.
Every praise to our God.
Yeah.
Yeah? Amen. Every one of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Lucifer corrupted those things. So he's got a right to be down here and mess with all this stuff. Well, why would I want to stay right here and operate in a realm that Satan's been given a right to mess with? Right?
Right.
In your mind, he's still. Why would we want to operate in that realm? Because he's going to mess with you.
Right.
Why not rise up and go into the place that he's not allowed to be?
Right?
Right? Rise up to that. And you'll find out that when that happens, he can't mess with you there.
Yeah.
He can't do nothing with that word. Amen. So that's the only place. That's the only place that you can be and be overcomers is in that word, in that realm from the soul. Heaven itself was corrupted, and even heaven itself, you realize the Bible tells us that heaven itself has to be cleansed? Amen. We'll read these. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary, before I go any further, remember he said, Moses, I want you to create this earthly thing like what you saw in heaven, this earthly tabernacle, make it just like what I showed you up there. So this earthly thing is a pattern of those things up there, right? And so it was necessary, therefore, that the pattern, this down here, the tabernacle step down here, the pattern of things in heaven, right? Follow me? That the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, he's talking about these earthly sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. What better sacrifice are you talking about? The blood of Christ.
Right?
It's the blood of Christ that could go and actually go into heaven itself. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands down here on earth, right? Which are a figure of the true, which is in heaven. That's me. I'm paraphrasing. You understand, so you see what I'm saying. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll go to the next scripture there, Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile how many things?
All
things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or in things in earth and in heaven.
Right.
Purified. Mm-hmm. See, when God couldn't just create something else, and when God came down and he was the sacrifice, when God comes down and he is the person who's redeemed. You see what I'm saying? When he come down to be the lamb, to be the dove, to be, that's the whole plan of God. That's how he did it. That's how he does it. So how are we going to get there? We're going to get there because he has come down and he's in us. And he's doing in you and will do in you exactly what he said.
Right.
We come into the hour and we believe. We believe these things. No limitations. No stop. No more. We believe. We're his people. And you, I'm not saying you won't have times where you're gonna come up with a situation where you need God to move, and the first thing that's going to happen, your mind's going to start, well, but, you know, I made a mistake, or I did this, or I don't know, I just don't have it. No more. No more. You've got to fight that battle.
Right.
If you will resist the devil steadfast, he will flee.
Right.
You can do it. You can overcome in your life.
Right.
You can have these things, these promises. You can be ready for a rapture.
Amen.
Amen. No question about it. And so, the only place that we can overcome is not in these other realms, but in that place where God is and where his word is. Amen. Satan was cast out from the presence of the word. And that's why the Bible says that we are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Satan couldn't touch it. Our birth has to be not imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection. Our birth cannot be just what you feel in the flesh. And here we are in an age where everything is piled on you, wanting you to live that way. And in the midst of all that, God says, no, your birth is from the word realm. And you don't have to feel nothing. It's just simply because God said it. Amen. Just simply because he said it. And so we are born of that, of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And God has come down to overcome in your life. Amen. Look at Shamgar. I'm almost done. One page left out of seven. Amen. Look at Shamgar. Shamgar was a farmer. But Shamgar was the seed of Israel. Shamgar had a promise.
Right?
And year after year, the Philistines would come. They would wait. This is the way Satan does it. Do you realize Satan doesn't just kill you sometimes? You know, Satan likes to just make you so weak that you can't rise up and overcome, but you still have enough power to make bricks for him. I hope that each of you can identify with how that is working in your life so that you can deal with it. Because Satan wants every one of you not helpless, but still strong enough to satisfy his program, but not enough to overcome him. That's the way it works. And so the Philistines, they'd sit back and wait, and Israel would grow their crops, and right about time, once they finally did all the harvest, got all the work done, here they would come in with their armies and take their food. I'm sure they left them just enough that they could barely get by so they could make another crop for them next year when they'd come take it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does Satan ever do stuff like that to you? See, you've got to identify this battle of yours. And you've got to engage your enemy.
Right.
And God has told you you can overcome every one of them, but you got to do it.
Right.
Amen. That's why I keep saying, Satan can't hold you if you don't want to be there. You don't want him. You've got a promise that says you can go free, but you've got to put it out there. Amen. Stand pat on it. So here they are, Shamgar, year after year, family just barely getting by. You know the story how it goes. One day, enough was enough. One day when he looked and he saw them coming once again. I've been down this road before. I know. I've seen how Satan has come. I failed miserably, and I realize how this works, and I know what he's going to do. If I fall for this trick again, I know what he's going to do to me. I hope you can identify with your own walk. Mm-hmm. And you look at that and say, you know what? Not today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Based on what? Based on what? Well, because the church numbers have increased recently, so I'm stirred up because we got more people, or Brother Tony's preaching more fiery, he's preaching more like Brother Daniel does, or whatever. You got a little. Is it no? What's based upon what? You see the enemy coming. You know what he's going to do to you if you give in and let him. And you know you have a promise. You've been told by God this is yours, and you don't have to have an enemy come in no more. And what are you going to do? And you know that in the past, that every time you just give in, what happened to you? And all of a sudden now, for some reason today, you look at it and say, you know what? Not this time. Enough is enough. I am a child of God. I am of the seed of Israel. I have the promise of the Holy Ghost. I have the promise that in me is a seed gene that believes.
Right.
And I'm reaching out by faith into the promises of God, and I'm overcoming this thing this time. It's not happening again.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not because you got stirred up and you shouted more in church, but on the basis of what God has promised you, whether you feel it or not, there might be Philistines, 600 coming at you, makes no difference. I have a promise of God, and I will overcome. Amen?
Right.
That's what happened to Shamgar that day.
Yeah.
I hope you're still being fed right now, because we're getting to something I really want you to catch.
Amen.
Okay? So that's what happened that day with Shamgar. All of a sudden, the revelation mattered. All of a sudden, now you realize, you know what? I am a child of God. I don't have to put up with this no more. I don't have to think things that I've been thinking I shouldn't. I don't have to look at things I shouldn't be looking at. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I don't have to allow in my domain these things to happen anymore in my domain because I'm a king unto God. I don't have to allow these things anymore. That's what happened that day. But I want to show you, Sarah. See, Shamgar that day, here's all these fortified 600 well-trained, well-armored Philistines coming. What's he going to do? And if Shamgar would have, like every other time, oh, I can't fight them. Go ahead, take the grain. Take it all. You know what I'm saying? He was totally outnumbered. He wasn't a trained soldier. He couldn't fight that army, just like David couldn't fight Goliath. But on that day, when he believed the word, when he rose up, had a revelation that changed his thoughts, realized, you know what? I'm a child of God. That army became nothing. And what I want to leave with you on this point right here is, Shamgar did not overcome those 600 Philistine soldiers with great big thick helmets and all the armor they had. He didn't overcome them as a soldier.
Right.
He overcame them who he was.
Right.
A farmer.
Right.
He didn't have to. He didn't say, well, I'll fight like I've seen this guy, or I'll do this like that guy. No. Just who he is. He rose up because, see, God don't want you to be different than somebody else. Back to what I'm saying, don't mimic anyone else.
Right.
God wants you as an individual, for you as a Christian, and your one-on-one walk with him, that you're not trying to mimic anything. You're just letting God live through you. And so if you're a farmer, if you're a housewife, if you're a plumber, if you're a car salesman, if you're an IT guy, I don't know what you're, right? If you're a mother, a grandmother, God has come down to be that mother, to be that grandmother,
right,
to be these people. And when your battle comes, he's not telling, well, now you got to do this and you got to be different. And you got to, that's the lie of the devil. That's emulation. That's enticing spirit. You just be who you are with God. Let him deal with you the way you are, the way he deals with you. That's why I preach the way God deals with me. I don't try to mimic somebody else. And sometimes I'm quiet as a mouse up here. And sometimes I'm not. But I'm always doing what he does to me. And that's what you've got. That's what Brother Daniel does. It's what you've got to do. Just be who you are in God. Let him work through you. And don't mimic nothing. Shamgar overcame as a farmer. As a farmer with a revelation burning in his heart that he was a child of God. He didn't have to change occupation. He didn't have to go train. He wasn't back behind the barn all year long trying to learn how to use nunchucks or something like that. It just struck him under inspiration one day. I'm a child of God. I'm not putting up with this anymore. That's why that story is there. And you know what? He didn't just deliver his own crops. He delivered Israel. There's your priest who can make a difference in other people's lives when you overcome. Amen. And so, like I said earlier, you don't have to scream and cry and shout to get victory in your life. Don't do that. Don't do that unless that's really who you are in the Lord. If you come up into that presence and by faith, and he comes back and he makes you the most fiery preacher there was on the planet, be that.
Right.
If he makes you come back, I'll say, I'm speaking to preachers, if you do that and you come back and you just stand in one spot like Harold Beckett and just bam, 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 not moving around, but it's just be yourself.
Right?
And when your enemy rises up in your home, with your children, whatever it is, you don't have to go, no, you're yourself. Just sit down, kneel, whatever, talk to God. And say, you know what? Everything's going to be fine because I've talked it over with him. That's what the prophet said. I just want to talk it over with him. I appreciate the song, I Can Pray. The highest form of communication, right? preaching the gospel, but pray. You can talk to God. He's not too far. He will hear you, right? And saying, see, this thing that God is bringing us into, this is not just something where you have victory in church. You're going to have victory in your whole everyday, all the time. Let me say this. I will be shocked if the rapture happens while we're in church. Follow me? So it's not here. Not just, this is where it happened. This is where judgment goes from the house of God right out there. It's right? Not just here. But I would be shocked. I think we'll all be out there and we'll be farmers planting our potatoes and we'll be car salesmen selling our cars and we'll be plumbers fixing pipes.
Yep.
And we'll be an IT man fixing the computers at Walmart so we can go buy our next frozen pizza or whatever. Our fried chicken. Where's Malachi? Right. You understand. God wants to come down and be you.
Right.
He doesn't want you to be different. And so you've got to believe that, yes, me, as I am, I can overcome my enemies because I'm one with him.
Amen.
Just me. I don't have to be something else. I don't have to study extra, whatever. No. When inspiration strikes, it's the basis of the word. You're connected. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Brother Ram said, just talk to him like you would talk to your friend. You know, I don't know about y'all, but me coming up through Pentecost and you see some praying and different people and, oh man, I wish I could pray like that guy. I wish I could, and Brother Ram said, just talk to him. Just talk to him like your friend. That's nothing wrong. If you go in your, most of your prayers should be in your closet. And in there, you can do whatever. I mean, if you want to get carried, we want that, right? But when Satan tries to tell you, well, you're not going to have a very good victory today because you didn't do that. Enticing spirits. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. And all things are possible to them who believe. Amen?
Amen.
So, the key to understanding this is to understand your weakness. God doesn't want to work through your strength. And when things come your way where you need a miracle from God, you need God to move, and you know it as well as I do, that every time something like that comes up, Satan is always present there to tell you why you can't have what you're needing.
Sure.
Right? And Satan doesn't come to you and say, he doesn't come to you and identify your strengths. He comes to you and he identifies weaknesses and says, God can't do this in your life because.
Right.
Follow me? He points out your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But as the sermon there where the Branham, you should go listen to it. Perfect strength through perfect weakness. To go listen to that. See, but that's where God wants to conquer in your life. Not through your strength, but through your weakness.
Right.
Through the fact that you're just a farmer and you're not some high-powered preacher or some high-powered man with a gift of healing in his life or something like that. He wants it through you as a wife, a mother. And you say, what am I going to do? It's true. So identify what your weakness is. The very thing Satan will tell you. He'll tell you what it is. And so when Satan comes to you and he tells you, oh, you can't have this promise of God because of this. Well, you're not smart enough, or you did something and people won't believe you, or whatever it is. He'll tell you. He's good at that. But whatever that say, thank you, Satan. Take that and say, God, it's through this. It's through this weakness that I overcome because your promise. I'm placing this for you. I'm, by faith, bringing you down to live this weakness, live through this weakness. Because it's through that weakness that he overcomes, that you'll overcome.
Right.
Amen. So find that weakness. Like I said, Satan will tell you what it is. Find the thing that you feel like I can't make it because of this. And whatever that is, take it to the Lord. And say, Lord, what do you say about it? What does your word say about it? And you'll find out that all things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
Whether you're in a prison, whether you're sick, whatever, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Amen.
Because God is now living in you, doing these things. That's where God wants to make you an overcomer. Brother Bam tells us in, I believe, that same sermon, Perfect Weakness, Strength Through Perfect Weakness. He said some people came to him, and I think he said they got the Holy Ghost or whatever, and he said, should we seek gifts? Brother Bam said, no, don't seek nothing. See, they tell you, coming from Pentecost, oh, yeah, Brother Bam said, no, don't seek nothing. If God wants you to have something, he'll give it to you.
Right.
Do you know what? If me coming back from Pentecostal, well, then to be real spiritual, then you gotta be a prophet or prophesy or speak in tongues or you're nothing. And because you're raised up in that kind of environment, that's what you're shooting for, not realizing that that's enticing spirits trying to tell you to do all that. Just don't try and be anything and just walk with God, and he'll do through you what he wants to do through you. So if he wants to make you a prophet, he'd make you a prophet. If he wants you to make someone speak in tongues, he'd make you speak in tongues.
Right.
It would do that, right? So he says, no, don't do that. Well, we heard a so-and-so say we should seek for gifts. And Brother Brown said, yes, and become a stuffed shirt.
Right.
Right? Now listen, you don't want stuffed shirt up here behind this pulpit. Because I could take, like a scarecrow, we could shove a shirt, stuff it, and he could stand right there, and you'd get nothing except just the satisfaction, if there would be, just to see him standing there.
Yeah.
You don't want a stuffed shirt. You want somebody that God deals with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want your ministry to be someone who God deals with. I'll throw this out there. That's a good time to tell you about tape ministry and so forth. Yes, we listen to the prophet, but we don't eliminate the man of God behind the pulpit or men of God behind the pulpit who God deals with.
Right.
That's what you want. You don't want stuffed shirts.
Right.
The brethren says, no, don't. If God wants you to have something, he'll give it to you. So don't try to be anything yourself. Just walk with God. That's why I keep saying just walk with him. But make sure you're walking with him. And he will do in your life. But you've got to believe he will conquer everything because it's him in you.
Right.
It's not you. You are not where you are in Christ because it's you.
That's right.
It's him.
That's right.
And if he's there, he will give you every promise that this book has said.
Amen.
Amen. If you try it in yourself, you will fail. But with God, there is no failure. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how many believe? You are a king and a priest unto God.
Amen.
You do have a domain. You do have authority.
Amen.
You can do it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We'll let the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to him. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how wonderful it is to be able to sit in heavenly places, to know that your word is here present, and God, that you have your hand upon these people here. I know every one of them is going through a battle, but I pray today, Lord, that these words have encouraged them to know that it's God that's in them that's going through that battle. Of course there's going to be trials. Of course those things are, that's where our faith is tested. But yet, Lord, we realize that you're with us. You're in us. And Lord, as I mentioned, the precious brother John Hollis in his reading that story in the Bible where you were down in the bottom of the boat, I pray, God, that from this day forward, that your children, all those from the sound of my voice, God, that's what they will do. That they'll realize that you have said, we're going over. We're coming through this Laodicean age. We're coming through and our children are going to be saved. And we're going to have healing in our midst. And we're going to have great things and the great powers of God working in our midst. We'll have those things. But Lord, if in those hours where the storm is so great and they don't quite have it, may they at least, Lord, be able to call you on the scene and say, Lord, would you come up here and inspire us? Inspire us to believe. Lord, and speak to the winds and the waves. I pray, God, that you would do that now in every life in this room right now. God, I am nothing, but your word is everything. And because of that, Lord, I give that blessing to this congregation, Lord. And from this day forward, they'll have victories in their life that they've never had before. Lord, we don't want to go another day without a greater victory in our life, moving us that closer to our bodies being changed and being that bride that's perfectly without spot or without blemish or any such thing. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit our families to you. We commit this church to you. God, we commit this election and this nation to you, that whatever it is, God, you're with your people, and we'll walk in victory. We will not be worried about what we see in our flesh. We will not let Satan lie to us in our mind or imagination, but we will believe your word and stand there as that story the prophet told, that woman standing there with the flowers in her hand while people making fun of her, waiting on you to come. Lord, we'll do that. Trust you all the way. Let us be like those three Hebrew children and say this: whether you'll do these things, we don't know, but there's one thing we won't do. We will not bow. In this hour when this world is crashing and they want to drive Christianity completely out, there's one thing we're not going to do, is we're not going to say no to the gospel. We're going to accept it. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this time with your people. I pray that your Holy Spirit continue to brood over each one today. And may they never forget the things they've heard today in this service. And Lord, those that are missing today, I pray somehow, God, they hear it, and that it will have just as much impact to them at home or wherever they are as if they had been here. May these seeds now be sown, and may they come forth, Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. don't know, most of you probably have been downstairs to see. We're pretty much, there's just a couple things left, but nothing that would hinder us from using downstairs. If you want to go down there and see what it is, and I need to talk to the trustees at some point about some chairs. But, amen. So may the Lord richly bless you.
That's all appreciated, Brother Tony, for all the work you've done downstairs. I mean, yeah.
I guess maybe I'm made for it. I guess, I don't know, because, it's been a lot of work, but I've enjoyed, I like being in service to God's people. And I think you deserve the best that there could be. And of course, I can't give you, but at least we can do what we can do. And so I am proud to be able to say, I want you to enjoy that. And I realize, and I'll say this, I hope it don't be misunderstood or whatever, but I realize I'm getting older. And all this work that's been done, if the Lord tarries, it'll be left for someone else to enjoy. Right? But between now and then, I want to see you enjoy it. And be able to have fellowship right here, not have to go and run and worry about what we're going to do and have wedding showers and baby showers and all that kind of stuff. But now we can have it here. Right? And so, may the Lord richly bless you. We love every one of you. Amen. So, God bless you.